This episode of Slightly Offsides is brought to you by Better Edge, the legal way to bet socially with no fees. Better Edge is an amazing platform that has most sports. We're talking about all the big sports, as well as college football and basketball, MLS, PGA, and European soccer. The lines are better than what you'll get at most any other sports book. Your spreads and your over-unders will go plus and negative, as well as you can also live trade your bets as they're happening. So if you have a horrible bet and you want to get rid of it mid-game and save some capital, you can do that with Better Edge. I got the opportunity to try it out, and now you're going to be able to do that too. Head on over to betteredge.com and get a free $10 right now when you sign up using the code OFFSIDES. That's OFFSIDES at betteredge.com, BETTOR edge.com. Play the game without getting played.
Welcome to Slightly Offsides, your perfect game plan for all things college and professional football. Hosted by Dre and Mike.
Welcome back, everybody, for another episode of Slightly Offsides presented by Better Edge. Play the game without getting played. I have with me here from SMU, Ricky Cole, defensive tackle. Ricky, thanks for coming on.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Yeah, so Dre and I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about your experiences throughout your, you know, D1 football career. So I guess we'll kick right into that. Dre, you want to start us off?
Yeah, man. So it's great having you here, obviously. You know, I've gotten to do a little bit of digging about what you've been, you know, moving like over the past couple of years. So, you know, with this past year, though, that transfer portal opened up.
Yes, sir.
How do you feel about it? Obviously, you know, it's a big thing in college football right now. There's a lot of people entering the transfer portal. You know, I don't necessarily find it as a bad thing. I don't think very many people do. But what do you see as like the benefits from it?
So ever since I've been in college, there's been a transfer portal. I think it became a thing like maybe a year or two right before I got to school. And basically the transfer portal is just like, it's like a way of like advocating for athletes to transfer. So back in the day, it's like you would put in a request to transfer and a coach could deny your transfer, saying, no, you can't do this, can't go here. But the transfer portal is more of a, I'm telling you I'm transferring. And this is just like a formal way of me saying like, I'm gone. So, I mean, like, I'm a big fan of the transfer portal. You know, I've technically been in it twice. Yeah, it's just like, it's just a way for athletes, you know, be able to continue to push their brand forward and, you know, get to a school where they're going to be happy and where they can play and compete. Because, like I said, it's a lot deeper than people realize and just, like, competition. You know, when I entered the transfer portal, it wasn't necessarily me entering the transfer portal because I didn't want to compete because I love competition. You know, I'll never shy away from it. But it was more like I needed a fresh start, or things weren't going the way I needed them to off the field, just like in my personal life, and I just needed somewhere else. So that's just the benefit of it, being able to get into the transfer portal, contact coaches, get re-recruited, and have the freedom to go to another school.
Yeah, we had Ty Mason on the last player interview that we did, and he mentioned the same thing, and we kind of, you know, that was kind of the main thing is, bro, y'all have lives.
Exactly.
You know, like y'all have personal lives, y'all have families, y'all have stuff that y'all need to take care of, exactly. Whether it's school, whether it's, you know, your girl, whatever it is, bro. Like y'all got personal stuff y'all got to take care of. And if fans can't separate football from personal life,
that's a fan perspective, that's a coach
perspective. That's not your perspective.
It's really like the old head perspective, like a lot of old people and older dudes that are coaches and stuff, like, I know Dabo Sweeney, this was his first year getting players out of the transfer portal. In the past, he said he didn't want to use the transfer portal because he didn't like players that are transfers. Like, and I just think that's crazy to think that, you know, like that narrative that they like were trying to push on people entering the transfer portal as like quitters, people that give up, people that want to take the easy way out. When it's really not that, because, you know, the transfer portal itself is, it's not sweet, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like you said, it's a lot of people in the transfer portal right now. You know, I entered the transfer portal at the start of COVID. A lot of people in the transfer portal then. It's a lot of people, you know, you enter the transfer portal, you're not getting out.
Yeah.
So it's not a place for quitters, because it's like you hit that portal, it's easy to give up. So like the people that get out of the portal, like I tip my hat to them, bro, because it's no joke.
kind of reminds me of NFL free agency or NBA free agency, bro. Once you either your contract expires or you decide you want to get traded, nobody wants you, bro. You got to figure out how you may get around that. There may be a ton of teams that want you. You got to decide on the best fit. You know, it's really prepping y'all for the next level if you really think about it.
A lot of coaches, like I said, like Dabo Sweeney, they talk about how they don't like the transfer portal, but you know, coaches, like it happened at my school this year, Coach Dykes and the whole entire staff, spring staff, they all went to our rival TCU. You know what I'm saying? Coaches leave players all the time and there's no punishment for it. There's no, oh, he was wrong for that. Like Temple, if you look at Temple University, you know, Coach Diaz was hired as Temple's coach. And the next day he was Miami's coach. So it's like, you know, a player would be penalized for an action like that. So,
yeah. Yeah, and we talked about that last episode too. Ty had mentioned it, and we had said, you know, this is you got to settle down and realize that this is a business. People got to do what they got to do, and they got to do what's best for them in a situation that you know you're relying upon your actions on the field. You know what I'm saying? Like this is you.
Like you can't be thinking about what other people think about it.
Yeah,
none of that matters.
So, Ricky, you touched on Sonny Dykes, and I was actually going to talk to you about that and ask you a couple of questions. But, you know, you kind of just you touched on it yourself, and I think you pretty much did a good job of like, discussing what it is I was trying to hear from you. So let's kind of pivot and talk about, you know, out with Sonny Dykes, in with Rhett Lashley, right? Have you gotten an opportunity to sit with Coach Lashley, and, like, what are your thoughts on him as a coach? Are you excited to have him?
Super excited, bro. Super excited. I think our staff, like, not trying to throw shade on our last staff, but I think we upgraded as a football team with the coaches we got. So, I mean, Coach Lashley, he got here, you know, the first thing he really wanted to do, he had a team meeting with us, and he was like, look, you know, I'm not really focused on recruiting right now. Like, right now, I need to know, like, who y'all are. I need to get to know my players. And, you know, one by one, he sat down, and he talked with each and every one of us. You know, when you play at, like, a Division I school, like, I played at a small D1 school at first, everybody knows the head coach. You know, the head coach knows everybody's name, knows their face. When you get to the bigger D1 schools, you know, something I realized real fast, you know, Coach Dykes doesn't know everybody's name, you know, and that's not me like saying anything about him. It's just he's busy, you know, it's a lot he has to do, a lot he has to take care of. And, you know, he can't maybe get around to, you know, knowing everybody's name, not saying he's not a good dude and everything. But, you know, for Coach Lashley to sit down with each and every player, you know, on the roster, you know, it's 110 of us. And, you know, have a conversation with us, you know, that was important to me, you know, having that relationship with him. And then, you know, the hires he made some really good hires. You know, our defensive line coach, Coach Thibodeau, he's coming over here from Oklahoma. You know, I think that's huge to be able to get instructed by a guy like that, and, you know, proving that he can put dudes in the NFL. So I'm excited about that. Yeah, like I said, I think we upgraded. I think this season is going to be a really special season.
I found like this really cool piece written on you by the York Daily Record. And it kind of talks about how, you know, you started out, you were recruited as like a traditional nose tackle, right?
Yeah.
And when you reached, I think it was Wagner, right?
Yes.
They told you kind of like, hey, we're going to need you to lose a little bit of weight. We want to turn you into a D tackle and turn you into like more of a playmaker. That was a pretty like big change for you, right? Like going through that process. How was that process?
It was long, to be honest. Like I got there and at first they had me playing. Like I stayed as a nose there like my whole time. But, like, I weighed a lot. I was, like, 370. Wasn't really, like, a healthy, like, weight at all for myself. Like, obviously, I couldn't be blocked very much. But it wasn't, like, a healthy lifestyle for me personally, like, off the field and on the field. I knew that, you know, they were talking to me if I lost weight. Because I've always had, like, been quick laterally. But I knew if I lost weight, you know, my ability to just make more plays, being able to go get a sack rather than just be a run stopper, you know, I knew that would be huge. So I knew I had to really commit to, like, trying to lose weight. You know, that's what I did. Like a year, I lost like 100 pounds. So now I'm moving pretty good. I feel good. Yeah, you know, I'm excited about playing at this
point. Yeah, man, that's what it says in here. You completely transformed your play style. That's sick. You know, losing that much weight and then turning around and putting on muscle right back and just completely transitioning the way that you're playing the position. I think especially too, like when you think about a traditional nose tackle, right, there's not a lot of teams that use like a traditional nose tackle anymore.
Yeah.
So being able to, you know, be adaptable and make that switch, especially going to a program like SMU, that makes you so much more valuable on their D line. So I think that was really cool. And I'm sure it was definitely a pretty stressful and like difficult thing for you to go through, but you know, hey man, props to you for going through it.
Yeah. I mean, like it wasn't so much like stressful. It was like, I really started doing it probably, you know, my sophomore year, like that spring semester, you know, recovering from the ACL tear and all that. So, you know, I knew that would help me get back on the field faster, you know, take weight off of my knee. And, you know, I really hit my stride with it when I entered the transfer portal. And I think, like, that helped me in so many ways, because then I was sending out, like, highlight tapes, like, well, not highlight tapes, like, videotape of me working out and showing them, like, hey, this is how I moved at Wagner when I was this weight. You know, this is how I'm moving now at this weight. And, yeah, so ended up, like, benefiting me a lot in that way.
Yeah, I read this somewhere. I think it was in the same article. You said that you sent out, like, these workout footage tapes to pretty much, like, all the Power 5 schools, right? Or group of five schools.
I sent it to literally every Division I coaching staff, like, in the country, bro.
That's so sick, man.
Like, bro.
That's so sick.
It would take literally, like, hours out of a day. Like, I'm blessed. Like, yeah, no, it was crazy, bro.
Hey, man, that's some of the stuff that, like, in this day and age, right, going that extra mile, that means a lot to some of these coaches, because it's something that I guarantee you, like, you probably can count on, like, one hand the amount of kids in the country who, like, did what you did, right? Like,
exactly.
Most kids are just sending links, like, hey, man, check out my huddle, or check out my max preps, right? Or, like, yeah, follow me on YouTube.
I had, like, this big, long, like, paragraph of, like, I was saying, like, it was the same paragraph I was sending to every single coach. And it was like this long message. All I was doing was switching the coach's name in school. And I was sending it to everybody, bro. But, like, yeah, it was crazy.
That's awesome, man. That's
I didn't awesome. I didn't think I was going to end up at SMU, though. Like, because I was in the transfer portal, it felt like for forever, bro. Probably about the length of a school year from last fall till about, like, last May. And, you know, at first it was kind of slow. And then a bunch of FCS schools got at me, like, you know, like CAA schools like Towson, UAlbany, like schools like that. They were getting at me. And, you know, I was cool. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's a blessing to play football. I knew I wanted to stay D1 and, you know, I was going to go FCS. And then, you know, the weird thing with the transfer portal is, it's like in high school, when coaches are recruiting high school athletes, you know, they have, it's like right there in front of them. It's every single athlete in the country that's playing high school football, right? With the transfer portal, it's like people entering every day and every day. So it's like, you can go from being number one on the recruiting board, you know, the transfer portal, to boom. I know Towson got it out from, like, Washington State. You know, it was me, and then a dude from Washington State entered the portal. Now it's a dude from Washington State. Now he's the one getting the offer from Towson. You know, so a bunch of the FCS schools ended up, like, pulling on me. UAlbany pulled on me late. And then, like, I just remember it was, like, one day. Like, it was super dry for, like, a month. But I just kept my faith, like, with my Lord, like, Jesus Christ. And, like, one day, I think it was, like, a Tuesday, bro. Like, seriously, I woke up to, like, 5 emails from FBS schools, bro. And I was like, dang. Like, it was just, like, it was crazy. And then I committed to ULM, actually, at first. And then SMU got to me. And it was no-brainer. I was going here.
Yeah, yeah. So let's talk about that a little bit, Ricky. So coming from, like, Division I FCS, right? Which, that's what Wagner is, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so coming from a Division I FCS in Wagner and then transitioning to FBS, okay, I'm sure, like, you've been paying attention to the recruiting news and all that stuff with what Deion Sanders has been able to do with Jackson State, right? Pulling out these five stars and, like, the number one prospect in the 22 cycle, right? So coming from both of those worlds and seeing how different it is, both in, like, expectations, opportunities, right? What does it say to you that, like, he's able to actually pull away these kids who, like, I mean, we're talking about guys who had almost, like, 3 to 4 years of, like, ticket written football and then into the NFL, right?
Yeah.
Like, how awesome is it that he's able to pull these kids away from these big time programs and pull them into the FCS? Like, what does that mean for FCS and recruiting going forward?
I think that, like, it's huge for, like, HBCU football. Obviously, like, when you pick a college, one of the, like, biggest parts of your decision is going to be NFL development, you know, how they can develop me into being an NFL prospect. And obviously playing for Deion Sanders and his staff, you know, they're going to do that, you know, and the connections he has, you know, everybody says, like, you go anywhere, if you're good enough, they'll find you. That's not really, like, a truthful statement. You know, connections are huge, and being able to play for Deion Sanders, you know, that's an amazing opportunity. And I think, like, he's going to change football for a lot of HBCUs. I think Jackson State will probably be, you know, the first Power 5 HBCU eventually. But I think for the grand scheme of things, like, FCS-wise, I don't know if it's going to change much for, like, the FCS recruiting. Because at the end of the day, it's, like, what attracts recruits is, you know, like I said, NFL development, facilities, stuff like that, you know, fan bases, being able to play for a lot of people, being able to play on that big platform, being able to, you know, show your talents on that big platform. And, you know, not knocking the FCS, but they can't do that the same way FBS does. You know, whether that's like TV games, like games on national television, you don't see too many FCS games on national television. Scouts will always have that, well, he didn't really play D1 football mentality when they're recruiting an FCS guy. You know, it's going to be like, what can he do against like bigger talent? But, you know, that's one thing I noticed from going FCS to FBS is, you know, football itself doesn't get harder. The game speed is definitely faster. But yeah, I think Deion Sanders is going to eventually have Penn State as an FBS football team. And I don't think it'll change too much for like the rest of FCS.
So quick follow up on that. Do you think, like, what do you think the end game is for Deion Sanders? Like, do you think he's going to become just like a Jackson State coach for the foreseeable future? Do you think this is something that he's trying to use as like a launch pad, or do you think he's really trying to bring them to the FBS and really trying to kind of bring more attention to the HBCU, even if like these big time schools are knocking on his door? Cause like I could just see, you know, a school like a Florida State, right? Florida State's really been struggling and he's an alma mater there. I know there's bad blood cause he just took Hunter from him, but like, you know, could you see like him making that transition, or do you think he's sticking with Jackson State?
Honestly, I think he's locked in on Jackson State, bro. Cause when you look at it, like, he's definitely had opportunities to like interviews with like these bigger schools. TCU showed a lot of interest in Deion Sanders, you know, before they made the hire with Coach Dykes. And if you just look at what Deion Sanders has done with Jackson State, and you know what he's been saying, he's committed to being at Jackson State. He's put some of his own money into Jackson State, you know, transitioning, you know, that HBCU football culture. Like, HBCU culture has always been amazing. Like, everybody knows that, the band, you know, the alumni, all of it, everybody's locked in. But, you know, he's trying to build a new stadium there, and he already, you know, renovated their old stadium. I mean, they were having like 50, 60,000 people at a game, you know, with FCS. Like, that's just insane. And yeah, I think he's locked in with them for the future, bro. I think that he wants to make Jackson State a powerhouse and, you know, turn that into like, you know, a blue blood in football, like get them to the FBS level. I can see them being in the Group of Five school, you know, within like the next 5 years. They keep running through, you know, the SWAC and the MEAC the way they, you know, they should. I don't see any reason why they wouldn't be able to make that transition to Group of Five and then, you know, eventually be a Power Five school.
So with that Group of Five, let's say they take it, they're nice. That, you know, that they run their routes here, wherever they go, let's say it's the ACC or whatever. We have this college football expansion. Do you think that would be a good thing for Jackson State if they have, you know, let's say here in a newfound future, they actually do make an FBS? A college football playoff expansion, maybe opening it up to 12 teams. They might not give Jackson State that 5-4 slot off rip, bro. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You think that would be good for college football? Having a, what is it? What were you talking about? A 12 team? 6-12?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's looking like a 12, I think, at this point.
12-team playoff expansion, I think that's just huge for like all of Group of Five. Because obviously, I mean, like, you saw with Cincinnati this year. I mean, they didn't beat Bama. They didn't necessarily play them the best. But, you know, in my opinion, it looked like they belonged. At least defensively, it looked like they belonged. In no ways, I think Alabama made them look silly. You know what I'm saying? Cincinnati's offense couldn't really keep pace with Alabama's defense. But I don't think they made them look silly. I don't think any other team would have did any other, like, any better, unless it was Georgia against Alabama in that situation. I think Cincinnati played better than Notre Dame has and all of Notre Dame's trips to the college football playoff.
Yeah. So, we mentioned that right before, after we said, yeah, they're going to come in hard, that it doesn't matter at this point whether they, you know, we said that there was going to be a close game regardless. Even if it doesn't look that close, it'll probably be a good matchup.
I think Cincinnati's defense played a really good game, and if they could have scored points, it would have been a really good game, in my opinion. But yeah, I think the college football expansion, yeah, that'd be huge for Group of Five, depending on, you know, where Jackson State would end up in the Group of Five. Like, you know, obviously not every Group of Five conference is going to get the same shot at the playoff as, you know, the American is obviously like, you know, like we're top dog with Group of Five. You know, we had, you know, UCF in the past, you know, Cincinnati. But then like you look at like historical teams like Boise State, like, you know, how amazing that could have been for like a team like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think expansion is going to be good. I think it's going to give some Group of Fives a chance. And You know, I think in a situation like that, some group of fives could really, you know, make some noise and upset some teams.
Yeah.
I think a lot of schools are scared to play group of five schools, honestly.
And not to mention, you could imagine too, there's teams that are really good that some years they may not be top four.
Exactly.
Ohio States, exactly. Oklahoma States, Baylor's.
Utah. Utah. Like, you know what I mean? And
Oregon could have been.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Could have made a run in a 12-team playoff, and I think that would upset a lot of people. Like, Dabo Swinney, he's always saying something stupid. Like, he's saying he doesn't feel like 12 teams deserve to be in the playoffs. Like, that's just something somebody, I think, scared would say. Like, there's a reason you don't see Clemson and Alabama scheduling an American Conference team in the regular season. There's a reason. You'll never see it happen. You know what I'm saying? They're scheduling these FCS schools. Like, there's no reason Alabama should be playing the Citadel every year, beating up on them 70-0.
You don't like SEC Cupcake Week? You don't like SEC Cupcake?
It's phony, bro. It's like, nah, they're scared, bro. I don't want a Negro bump, bro.
Well, hey, man, listen, if there's anything this bowl season told us, it's that if they're not scared, they should be. I mean, the American came out swinging. The SEC definitely did not. There's some depth concerns there. I think this expansion would be freaking phenomenal if we can get some new blood in there. I think, right, you used Utah as an example. I think if Utah plays any team with less explosive of an offense than Ohio State in their bowl game, they win. And it probably wasn't
even – they would have beat Michigan.
Yeah, they would have beat Michigan. They would have beat Drake, cover your ears. I think they might have beaten Oklahoma State.
They might have beaten Oklahoma State.
I think they would have beat Oklahoma State.
They definitely would have beaten Notre Dame.
They would have beat Notre Dame. Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah, they could have probably, even with Baylor too, they could have beat a Baylor. Yeah. Hell, it depends upon who decides to show up. I mean, each of those quarterbacks on those squads.
I don't think they would beat Bama or Georgia this year.
No. But, I mean, those two teams were undisputedly.
That Georgia defense, bro, it's just something we haven't seen before.
Here's the awesome thing about expanding the playoff, right? Is that in that situation, like, who's to say they couldn't, right? Like, we don't think
that's
they
true,
could,
though.
Like,
true,
they
though.
Could, you know?
They could. No, any given day, bro. Anybody can lose for sure, bro.
And it ain't a seven-game series, too. That's the real thing that you got to imagine. All it takes is one bad day for one person, bro.
One bad day, one, you know, like, injury, right? Like, I'm one a interception. State fan.
Exactly, bro. And that's why I say, like, winning the Super Bowl is cooler than winning the NBA Finals, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I think NFL playoffs are more exciting than NBA playoffs.
Yeah, this you got to be this on is the your most, stuff.
Yeah, every, this is every my game, most exciting.
You get one shot, like, and it's all right there. Like, anybody can win, bro. Like, with NBA, it's like seven games. You know what I'm
best
saying?
Best team always win, bro.
The good team should be able to get four wins out of seven.
Yeah, yeah.
The best teams always win.
It's two or three. You know what I'm saying? They should be able to go get four.
Nah, it makes it more exciting when you just have one game. It just gets more people interested in it and stuff. I mean, I think exactly what you're saying, right? It's just the idea any given day, right? You have a bad injury, right?
Exactly.
You know, you think about like Pitt against Michigan State. They lost their backup after Pickett decided to sit out. So then they're running with their third string and like
in exactly.
the bowl. I mean, that's just, you know, anything can happen. But one thing you mentioned that I actually want to kind of circle back to that I think is going to be really interesting is you talked about how like the American right has been, you know, playing really well. And one of the things that I think is going to shake things up in the coming years is this realignment, right? So you've got Cincinnati, Houston, and UCF going to the Big 12, and then the Americans bringing on some guys from the, I think it's the Conference USA, right?
Yeah, so, some dogs from the Conference USA too. Like
Like UTSA,
That's a good football team, bro.
But so I guess my question is this kind of opens like a void, right, in like the top dog of the American, right? Because the teams who have been
at
the top, except for you guys.
Yeah, it's us.
Right? And that's what I'm getting to. I'm going to say, what is this as an opportunity for you guys? Like, how excited are you guys to essentially, you know, go and claim that throne of the American?
I know how we think about it, bro. The history with SMU football over the last couple of years, since, like, the Coach Dykes era, is be 8-0 and then lose four. You know what I mean? Be 8-0, go 8-4. And that's what happened this year, basically. And we were 7-0, ended up 8-4. Like, but honestly, we really feel like we have all the pieces we need to like get over the mountaintop this year. You know what I'm saying? Like, we felt like we had it this past season. Some unfortunate things went down. We felt like we could have been top dog with Cincinnati in the conference. Like, we didn't shy away from that. You know, the coaching rumors started happening. You know, motivation in the locker room went down. And, you know, our running back, he's, bro, I'm telling you right now, dude, Ulysses Bentley IV, bro, remember his name. He would be the best running back in college football next year. If he wasn't hurt, bro, we'd go 12-0. So, yeah, but Cincinnati leaving, it does open up a lot because, obviously, you know, their recruiting has taken off. With us losing Coach Dykes, we lost some big recruits. We lost, like, 3 4-stars and 5-star. But, you know, past that, it's like that does open up a lot of doors for us to, you know, be able to claim that throne as number one team. I think we can do it while Cincinnati's still here. But, you know, who's to say we won't end up in the Big 12 too? I don't know if you saw what happened with our stadium and everything. We just got a $100 million donation to expand our stadium and facilities, bro. So, I mean, I think that's what they wanted to see out of us, like the Big 12 is these bigger stadium, bigger facilities, you know, attract more people.
I mean, dude, that's the main thing you kind of mentioned earlier about the Power Fives is you go to some of these schools. Like, I went to go see Oklahoma State, Gallagher, Iowa, and, you know, their football stadium. And, I mean, it's, like, top-notch. Their training facilities are crazy. LED, orange fountains outside the school and whatnot, bro. Like, you walk in, you feel like you on that program already, bro.
Exactly, gang.
That's the – that's the thing, that whenever schools start to change that, if they're not already there, that's whenever they become those Power Five schools, because exactly. Those kids that want to see that and want to feel that, they want to go in, do the photo shoot with a jersey before they even committed there, bro.
Exactly, gang. Like, it's big. And, like, we have pretty solid facilities now, but, like, being able to take that next step, bro, like, that's definitely what separates, like, the Power Five from the Group of Five. Obviously, it's a money thing.
I'm going to go ahead and give Ricky an award here. I think he is officially the most guest we've ever had on the show. Because either that or, like, somehow my notes before the show leaked, because my next question was going to be about the Big 12 rumors. I was leading up perfectly, and Ricky just knew it, man. Like,
yeah,
play recognition, 10 out of 10.
Yeah, he caught my FCS question earlier. I didn't even ask that, John, bro. Nah, he's on top of – we didn't even send him the questions. Sometimes we do that ahead of time just to get people a little prep, you know, but that's really wild.
Hey, man, the A1 film study. Your coaches should be very proud. If Coach Thibodeau hears this, Ricky, number one guy in the film room right here.
But, I think what's holding us back from the Big 12, though, the schools have in the Big 12, we don't have baseball. We don't have, like, men's track. And those are big sports. So I think that if you're going to lack in something like that, you know what I'm saying, we have to be grand in something else. That would be, like, our facilities and our ability to, you know, attract people to come to our games. You know, the market of Dallas is huge. You know what I'm saying? Being able to really pull that in is, I think, that's going to be major in the next couple of years.
Not to mention, too, bro, like, I'm going to say this, and it's not no snub to SMU basketball, but they got to get a little bit nicer, too. Like, since these basketball team been solid, they're going to be able to play in the Big 12. You know, it's not only football that you're right. Yeah, it's not only football sport. It's every sport. So,
but it's like our soccer team, bro, go stupid. No reason, go dumb. Like, they were both, like, ranked in the top 10 this year. And they were really carrying our school for a minute, fool. So, like, yeah, we have a lot of good. Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely things we have to work on. And, you know, obviously, with having, like, these battle facilities, like, football getting this huge facility, football at every single school, no matter if it's a basketball school, baseball school, whatever, football is the heartbeat of the school, regardless. Yeah. And when the football team does good, or football team gets something big, it attracts a lot of people to want to go to that school. So I think, you know, with that, that's going to help our basketball program, you know, in ways people won't see. It's going to be good for everybody, I think.
Yeah.
So let's step off the football field for a sec here. Cause in this article that I was reading about you, Ricky, it talks about the fact that you want to be a lawyer, right?
I'm in the pre-law program here at SMU. And, you know, eventually I would want to go to their law school, finish out my eligibility and stuff. But I think I want to either practice, like, corporate law or I was thinking sports law, criminal law. Like, I think I could be a sports agent one day. I think that'd be kind of dope. But, you know, my number one goal is honestly, like, bro, like, I want to go to the NFL and, you know, God willing, if I could play in the NFL or coach in the NFL, like that's really what I want to do. Obviously, I feel passionate about like law and stuff too, but I want to like pursue this a little bit longer. You know what I'm saying? I want to be able to say that I tried. And, you know, if I swing and I miss, then you know it is what it is. But you know what I'm saying? Whatever he has in store for me, whatever he has planned for me, I'm okay with it.
No, absolutely. I thought it was so sick though. Reading that, I was like, "Damn, man, he wants to be a lawyer. That's so cool." Yeah, I gotta ask him about that.
It would be cool to be a lawyer.
Definitely. That sports agent, that corporate lawyer, dude. You could probably do corporate to get sports and industry, just other industries.
The money is there, bro. The money is definitely there.
We don't watch this man Jay-Z be a rapper, sign KD, and you know, buy Cash App and Square and all of that, bro. Yeah, it's there.
I think it would be dope, bro.
And then you mentioned Dallas. So, right, like obviously Dallas is probably one of the coolest cities to be around if you're a college kid. There's a lot of stuff to do. I'm sure that, you know, although you probably don't have the most free time, right? There's probably sometimes you get to go to Dallas because it's not that far away.
We're in Dallas.
Yeah. You guys are like right on the outside of the city. Let's say like 10-minute drive into like city proper, right? So like,
yeah, like we're in Dallas County. We're in Northeast Dallas.
Yeah.
And I live literally like from my apartment, maybe 5 minutes from downtown. You know what I mean? Like it's right there. It's in this area.
So then what, I guess my question is like, you got a free Saturday, right, with a couple of the guys on your D-line. What are you going to go into Dallas and do? Like, what's your favorite spot to eat? What's your favorite place to go?
Favorite spot to eat, bro. Easy, bro. Velvet Taco, bro. Best tacos in Texas, bro. I mean, like, them Johns go crazy. Like, I had Draco down here, bro.
Yeah.
And, bro. He was obsessed with Velvet Taco, dude. Like, that's my spot.
Bro, I haven't been. You know, my parents live out of Hazlitt.
Next time
I come out there, I'll go to the taco spot. Yeah, now I love Cane's. I'll be going to Cane's.
All the like chicken tender spots, like all the like Nashville chicken tenders, like all that Nashville hot stuff, bro. All those places go crazy.
Papado's. I don't know
Papado's go stupid for
that's some money though. You know, you got
to
spend.
Drop a little bag. You go to Papado's, bro. For sure. But yeah, like that's probably my favorite food spot. Typical like Saturday, Friday night, something like that. Like, you know, like the club scene is huge in Dallas. Like, whole bunch of clubs you can go to downtown. We have a couple teammates that are like in frats, and like I said, bro, they got money down here, bro. They'll run out a whole club for a night, bro. You know, like that's cool. Or you know TCU, obviously they're right up the road from us in Fort Worth. That's our rival on the field, but like we're cool with like a lot of the guys off the field and stuff. And we'll go up to Fort Worth, and they have this street called 7th Street, bro. It's just whole street full of nothing but like college clubs, bro. It's super dope. So we go to Fort Worth a lot, actually. That's probably like my favorite spot to go out to.
You mentioned that money out in Dallas. They got some money out in Dallas, baby. I done seen Lambos, bro, Ferraris, Porsches.
Especially up in Fort Worth, man. Lambo. Like yeah, Dallas, Fort Worth is the area across the river, like right next to the river. Yeah. I don't know how close, but like that place.
Fort Worth's like what, 30
minutes? Real estate is ridiculous.
Yeah, bro. Like I said, like we go to Fort Worth all the time, like out TCU. That's probably like 30-minute drive from my crib, but we're always there, bro. It's a fun time. Yeah.
And then I guess my last question I have for you, and then I'll let Dre wrap up, is, you know, so some football teams and even some like position groups, right, they have like these like funny, weird, like team building kind of stuff. And obviously I don't want you guys to share any secrets, right? But like you think about some teams, like they go bowling together, right? Like, do you guys have anything like that, or is it all pretty just kind of like.
I know last summer before camp, it was paintball. This year, bowl season happened. They tried to do like the 12 days of Christmas. So they took us to, what's that place called? No, what's that Brazilian like steakhouse called? No, real famous spot, bro. Fogo de Chao.
Yeah.
It took us to Fogo de Chao. They rented out the whole movie theater and we saw Spider-Man. It's so, like cool stuff like that, but just like hanging out with the guys a lot. We're a pretty close team, I'd say. It wasn't like I have a lot of dudes at Wagner, yo, my brothers for life. But here, like that family atmosphere is definitely something.
Best paintballer on the team, and like I guess also follow up to that is like, who got lit up the most? Like, who, like, didn't understand the paintball and just got toasted?
I feel like somebody on SMU probably got their own paintball gun, too. Like, I feel like people probably like, balling out.
I guess, like, what I'm really trying to know is, like, is Tanner Mordecai, like, is he dropping dimes on the paintball field like he is on the football field? No?
No. I might be the worst paintballer, bro. I don't like paintball, fool. I'll be honest with you. I don't like it. I don't like getting hit with those hard
pieces. It hurts, man.
It hurts, bro. Like, it's not fun. I'll say that, bro. I don't even know how I say the best paintballer is, but I'm definitely the worst, bro. I probably didn't hit anybody.
Who got the most drip on and off the field at SMU?
That's a hard question, bro.
I know it's easy to say yourself.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can't say yourself. You're not allowed to say yourself.
I'll give it to you, brother, but you got to do the one other person, too.
Bro, I'm not even going to lie, fool. Like, we had a receiver, Reggie Robertson, bro. He was, like, a big-name receiver, bro. Might be, like, a day-two guy. And, like, he had an NIL deal with, like, all these stores in Dallas, like reselling, like, shoes. Like, so, like, he was getting thousand dollars worth of shoes, bro, because his NIL deal closed, like, that dude was dripped out. I'm not gonna lie, bro. He was pretty dripped out.
That sounds like a plan. Them NIL deals sound like a plan, boy. I've been seeing a lot of people getting them.
The bag in college football is different now. If they're gonna have to put some type of, like, I love the NIL stuff, but they're probably gonna have to put some type of rules on it, because, like, recruiting is just gonna become a bidding war, bro. Mm. Like, we lost, like, I can't speak on anybody, like, I'm not gonna say, like, any names or anything like that, but, like, we've lost dudes to schools because of strictly, like, money. And I'm talking, like, money that's close to six figures. You know what I'm saying? Deals versus, like, close to six figures. And, you know, there's dudes here that are getting fat deals to be here. So, like, it's crazy, fool. Like, what the NIL has done, it's super cool to be able to, like, profit off of your name, bro.
Yeah. All right, and then what's your favorite? My last question, I feel like I'm going to do this for every player now, is what's your favorite song that comes on, or do y'all have a specific song that y'all just play before every single game? You can do Wagner and SMU if y'all have one at Wagner. If not, just do SMU, or if y'all don't have one at all.
My favorite thing to hear before this football game, bro, lift, whatever it may be, fool, is Big 30, No Hospital Game. Or, like, Drake, Do Not Disturb. Bro. I don't know why, bro. Do Not Disturb by Drake really puts me in that mode, fool. I don't know why. Yeah, that's probably, those are, like, my top two songs right now.
It's that subtle flow that Drake be doing on every one of them little 9 a.m. time slot songs, bro.
Lock in, fool.
I like that pick. I definitely like that pick. That's one of my favorite Drake songs of all time, for real. More life.
One last note.
Yeah, I was going to say.
For a second, bro. Remember Preston Stone's name, too, fool. He's the best quarterback I ever seen, bro, hands down, bro.
Yeah.
Like, fool, he's insane. Remember his name, bro.
Ricky, thanks for coming on. Really appreciate it. If there's anybody or anything you want to shout out before we wrap up, go right ahead.
Hey, follow me on the gram, man. Ricky.Cole3. Twitter, RickyCole3 eyes after that.
You guys heard the man. All right. Really, really appreciate you coming on, Ricky. Thanks for your time. And catch you guys next week. As always, check us out on Twitter at @SlightOffsides. And we will see you for our next episode on the following week.
Appreciate y'all, boys, man.
Thanks for listening to Slightly Offsides. We'll catch you next time.